Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Dr. Lorraine Day, who at another time, in another era, I worked with her as we were trying back in the from mid-1980s to the mid-1990s, trying to get an effective public health approach to the AIDS epidemic. And at every turn, our efforts were thwarted. And I'll never forget going back to the Centers for Disease Control and talking to the man in charge there at the CDC. His name was James Curran, and said to Dr. Curran, why don't you do what needs to be done to stop this epidemic? I mean, you know how to stop the epidemic. You use standard public health approach like we do with every other epidemic. Why don't you do what's right? And he looked at me and he said, I'm trapped. He said, I'm trapped between Congressman Waxman on one side and Lorraine Day and Bill Dademeyer on the other. What am I supposed to do? And I said, you're supposed to do what's right. And so he did. He resigned and went to work for Emory University. But today, Dr. Lorraine Day has another avocation. Both she and I have moved on from the AIDS epidemic because 500,000 Americans have died. Another million are infected. 25 million have died throughout the world. Another 40 or 50 million infected, totally unnecessarily. But Lorraine is working today. In fact, what's so interesting is that she and Bill Dademeyer today are married, and it's a whole different world, isn't it, Lorraine?
It certainly is. Who would have ever imagined?
Well, I certainly never would have. Anyway, it's been a wonderful adventure, and I certainly appreciate our friendship through the years. Anyway, we're going to talk this evening about the avian flu epidemic. Now, there are many people out there who are really very, very convinced that there's a real danger of avian flu. Well, I wanted you to hear what Dr. Lorraine Day feels about it because, are we being led down a primrose path for another purpose? And so, without further ado, Lorraine, you pick the story up.
All right. Well, first of all, let me go back to where you were with the AIDS epidemic. You know, you and I knew that the AIDS epidemic was blossoming, if you will, all over San Francisco and in America. And yet they were downplaying it. They were saying first that it wasn't transmitted by blood, that it wasn't transmitted by needle stick, and then they said it wasn't transmitted by any other body fluids. And so we knew, we had a hospital filled with AIDS patients at San Francisco General. And I thought, why are they downplaying this? And I realized that, of course, it was for political reasons, as you did. It was the promotion of homosexuality and the protection of the people who were spreading the disease instead of the people who were trying to keep from getting it. And so I learned something very valuable then, and it holds true now. If they are promoting a disease and telling the public that it's a terrible thing, it's probably a hoax. Because if it's real, they're going to downplay it. Let me tell you the diseases that are real. The diseases that are real are AIDS and mad cow disease. Mad cow disease is all over this country. There are lots of herds that are infected with mad cow disease. And, of course, we've got scrapie, mad sheep disease. People who are eating the meat from sheep and the meat from cows are in danger of getting this disease.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Lorraine Day as we begin exploring the avian flu epidemic. All right, Dr. Stan, Lorraine is just saying that the mad cow disease is here in this country, and pick up the story from there. Lorraine? Lorraine, are you there? Well, I don't know what happened to Lorraine. I think maybe she thinks when we go to the music, why we're going to have a break. Unfortunately, we do talk through the breaks. And so I will tell you my experience with mad cow disease. And already I went to this meeting where they had a representative from the agricultural department. And of course, I believe that we should be testing every cow in the United States for mad cow disease. It's not that expensive. It certainly would be the logical thing to do. The Japanese have said they don't want to buy American beef unless, of course, it's been checked for mad cow disease ahead of time. And I heard this representative of the agricultural department talking about how there really wasn't anything to worry about here in the United States, and we could trust them, you know, that they knew there was no problem. Oh, there'd been a problem in England, and there might be a problem in other countries, but there was no problem in the United States. And so I asked him afterwards, I said, why won't you allow widespread testing for mad cow disease? Now, this was, of course, the same question that we asked about, the AIDS epidemic. Why won't you allow routine testing to try to stop the spread of this disease? After all, it's primarily a disease that's spread by sexual contact, and so the important thing to do would be to test everybody. Certainly, you ought to have testing when people are getting married. Wouldn't that be the most logical thing in the world? Entering into a lifelong intimate relationship with somebody else. Why have you with the AIDS epidemic, why did they block, efforts to do routine testing in doctor's offices? Why did they block routine premarital testing and routine prenatal testing? And the excuse that was always given was, well, we might get a false positive. So when I asked the man from the agricultural department why we weren't doing routine testing for mad cow disease, what do you think he said? Why, he said, we might get a false positive.
Right.
And I said, well, you got a false positive, you'd repeat it, and I'm sure you have other tests, you could be absolutely certain. Oh, he said, we're going to get started sometime in the future, beginning to look into that. We have a program later this year or next year where we're going to test, 25,000 cows or something of the sort. And I suddenly had that same feeling, like it was deja vu all over again. They didn't want to do routine testing here in America because they didn't want to stop the spread of HIV disease, and they didn't want routine testing of mad cow disease because they were afraid that it was much more prevalent, and they were not going to let the American people know. And with that as the background, we'll be right back here with Dr. Lorraine Day. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Lorraine. We do talk through the break, so don't you can't run off.
Oh, I just went. I just went. Went to get an article.
Oh, that's all right. I just want to warn you. We do it a little differently now than we have in the past.
Oh, okay.
But Dr. Day was actually saying that she feels that the mad cow disease is far more prevalent than we've been allowed to suspect, and I suspect that she's absolutely right. So you picked this story up there, Lorraine.
Well, that's right. When they tell you, as I was saying before the break, when they tell you that it's not a problem, it is a problem. And when they tell you it is a problem, it's probably not a problem. First of all, I want to tell people, because we won't be able to get through all of this in this period of time. So I have on my website, I have a website called www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. Good News About God is all one word and it's all small letters. goodnewsaboutgod.com. And on the home page, if you click on political, at the middle of the home page, political information, you will see under political as well as under medical or health, you will see this information on avian flu. Now, I go through this and I take the information from the Centers for Disease Control, from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, from the World Health Organization, and I go through it very carefully, and I use their information to show that they're lying. Okay? Well, you say, why would they want to lie about a disease like this? Well, Dr. Stan has written a monograph called The Population Control Agenda, and he knows very well, as I do, that there is a big plan to control the population, meaning to eliminate large numbers of people in the population. The plan is to reduce the population of the world from 6 billion, which it is now, down to 500 million as soon as possible. So how are they going to do that? One of the ways they're going to do it is by epidemics. But they have a hard time infecting these people with epidemic diseases just by either natural methods or people giving it to each other. And so what they want to do is make sure people get it, and the very best way to make sure people get a disease is to inject them with the disease. Now, let me tell you about the 1918 flu epidemic. Everybody's hearing about that all the time. But if you go on my website where I talk about the bird flu hoax, at the end of that article, I include a couple of chapters from a woman doctor who was alive and present at the 1918 flu epidemic. And she says very clearly that the flu epidemic really started because troops, military troops from America, from Germany, and from England, and I think from Russia, were all injected with vaccinations. These people didn't get the flu. They got terrible diseases. They had huge hemorrhages from their intestines. They had all sorts of terrible symptoms, which are not the symptoms of the flu, but they got this terrible disease, and they called it flu. Well, when they got these diseases and the boys were coming home, the men were coming home from battle, they told the people in America, oh, there's this terrible epidemic, and so the men are coming home, and you're going to catch this disease unless you get vaccinated. And so the people became afraid, and they got vaccinated. The people at home got vaccinated, and then they came down with these terrible diseases. And so then they said this was a huge epidemic. Well, the woman doctor who was at that time taking care of these patients, neither she nor her parents nor anybody in her family had gotten the vaccinations. And she says in this book that she has written that not one single person got the flu who had not received a vaccination. It was the vaccinations that caused these people to become very ill and for thousands, maybe millions of people to die. It was the vaccinations. This is exactly the same thing they're trying to do with bird flu. Now, if you go through their information on the website, the World Health Organization says that the symptoms of bird flu are a fever, sore throat, cough, and possibly viral pneumonia. The Centers for Disease Control says the symptoms of bird flu are fever, cough, sore throat, and muscle aches, and possibly pneumonia. All right. Another area of the website, the CDC, says fever. Well, they document the fever as a fever of a 100.4 degrees. Now, when I was an intern at San Francisco General Hospital, so of course the weather in San Francisco is generally fairly cool, but occasionally there are hot days in August and September. We interns hated it when there was a hot day, because all of our patients would get a slight fever, about 100.4 or 100.5, and we would be ordered to do fever workups on all of these patients. We knew it was just because the weather was hot, but we had to go and draw blood and listen to their heart and listen to their lungs and write a whole lot of things in their chart. We knew it was just because of the warm weather. You can get a temperature of 100.4, which is no fever at all, by a hot day. And even if you just have the cold or the regular flu, or even have allergies or asthma, you can get a fever of 100.4, a cough, a sore throat, and even sometimes pneumonia. This does not mean that you have some terrible disease. It is a routine thing. These symptoms are totally nonspecific. They are nonspecific. I called up the Centers for Disease Control, and I said, I talked to the man who was the doctor who is head of the bird flu division. I identified myself by name. I told him I was a doctor. And I said to him, if I am asked to go door to door, house to house, to identify people with bird flu and actually try to quarantine them or whatever, where the person may lose their job, they may have all sorts of social stigma, how am I going to detect bird flu from regular flu? You know what he told me? You can't. I said, that's my point. But the president is talking about bringing out the military and the National Guard and all of this terrible thing, closing the borders. He says, that's all politics. It had nothing to do with us. Okay? But later on, Julie Gerberding, who is now the director of the Centers for Disease Control, at a major conference started out her talk by saying, bird flu is not a hoax. I think that she read my article, because Julie and I who's the present director of the Centers for Disease Control, were colleagues at San Francisco General Hospital for years. She was an infectious disease doctor. She was eventually it got to the point where she and all of her colleagues were told not to talk to me because I was telling the public the truth about AIDS. And they were ordered not to talk to me. One of the doctors who had been a resident with me, Connie Wolfsey, who unfortunately is now dead of breast cancer. She had breast cancer the same time I did. She got the quote-unquote finest treatment, chemotherapy, radiation, and mastectomy, and she is now dead. And I am alive and well, and we have breast cancer at the same time. And she told me, I said, Connie, why won't you talk to me anymore? She says, I have had orders from Merle Sandy, who was the chief of medicine at San Francisco General Hospital, that we're not allowed to talk to you because you will tell the public the truth. Okay? So anyway, Julie Gerberding was the very first television show I ever did in San Francisco on AIDS. Julie and I were on together. And she lied directly on television. I have a copy of the tape. She said at that time that AIDS was not 100% fatal, and all of medicine believed at that time it was 100% fatal. And when I said, Julie, that's, you know, why are you saying that? She says, well, it's not 100% fatal. Nobody can say that. And so when we walked out together at the end, I said, why did you say that? I said, you know that's not true. She says, yes, I know, but we have to worry about the psyche of the AIDS patient. I said, what about the psyche of everybody else who doesn't have the disease? So she was willing to lie at that time. Now she has been promoted to head of the Centers for Disease Control. I can imagine she's doing the same thing now.
Well, certainly I don't think we're getting the truth at all from the media. I don't think we're getting it from the government officials or the establishment. The entire establishment is doing everything they can to convince us that this epidemic, which has been around, I think, since about 1959, now there have been about 130 to 150 deaths over a three-year period, and yet here we have an AIDS epidemic that has killed between 20 and 30 million, and we don't pay too much attention to that anymore.
Well, that's right. We know, here's another statistic. The Centers for Disease Control states that every year in the United States, on average, 36,000 people die from the flu. But this is a deliberate deception by the CDC. Here are the actual numbers of flu-associated deaths from 1999 to 2002. This is in my article from the CDC. There were 753 deaths in 2002, 257 in 2001, 1,600 in 1999. So how does the CDC get from like 750 flu deaths to 36,000? Well, they combine them with pneumonia. They first say flu and pneumonia, and they give this 36,000. Well, it turns out from the flu, there are like only 700 or 800 deaths in the entire country. But they combine them with pneumonia, and then they call them all flu.
But, of course, usually the people who die are the very elderly with no immune response at all.
Well, that's right. Or people who have been severely injured in an accident where they're just barely hanging on to life and they're bedridden, and they may get pneumonia and die. Or people, elderly people who've had a hip fracture and they may be in bed and not very mobile, and those sorts of people. And they're the ones who die from pneumonia. People are dying from pneumonia all over the place. That's been going on for centuries, that people die from pneumonia. And so just because someone has died from pneumonia does not mean that there's some big problem going around. So anyway, also you will look at the symptoms given for SARS. The symptoms given for SARS are exactly the same as the symptoms for bird flu. But you see, they couldn't get SARS to travel from country to country, so they had to have a bird take it around. So then SARS, bird flu was just SARS with wings.
Well, they certainly are using a lot of hype on this. And when you see a concerted effort by the controlled media to convince us there's a real problem, then you have to ask yourself why. What are they trying to accomplish? And, of course, the answer should be obvious. They want us all to take the vaccine as soon as it's available.
Right.
But can we trust them? All right, Lorraine, pick the story up from there.
All right. Now, I wanted to tell the people who suspected human bird flu case. Now, these are actual titles of articles that have come out from various agencies. New suspected human bird flu. Notice that it is a suspected human case, and you never hear whether it was ever finalized or not. Next, the one is bird flu fails to migrate as expected. Well, it's been shown that the evidence of bird flu in various countries does not follow the migratory patterns of birds. That means that they're probably undercover agents are going to various flocks in different countries and actually either spraying these flocks with some deadly disease or whatever, because it's not following the migratory patterns of birds. And then here's another one from USA Today on October 11, 2005. How worried should you be about bird flu? Well, right there, you see, they want to tell you, you should be worried. The only question is, how worried? Well, and with AIDS, they kept telling you, no, don't panic, there's no problem. Well, it was spreading all over the place. Here's another one. Bird flu could pose enormous threat to U.S. economy. Well, as you pointed out, there've only been like 150 deaths and in all of Asia. And I checked the figures from the Almanac on the population of Asia, and it's about 3 billion people. And they've got like 100 deaths from bird flu, and we cannot even confirm that those are deaths from bird flu. You will notice that most of the bird flu appears, guess where? In Muslim countries. Indonesia, Malaysia, particularly Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim country in the world. And so is there an agenda here? And they're always occurring in these little tiny villages which are unnamed. And I have another article on there that I put up there recently about more silly bird flu hype, and they're talking about now in Indonesia, they've actually found a cat with by a woman doctor who has access to the files at the Centers for Disease Control, and she has said that the Centers for Disease Control has admitted they're making a super vaccine that's going to have 8 to 10 different diseases in it. Now, when you inject people with these things, they're going to get sick, and many of them are going to die. Let me tell you one other thing that she found out. She found out that there are contaminants, viral or bacterial contaminants, in each of these vaccines. And usually they're contaminants with non-pathogenic bacteria. Now, for those of you listening, that means bacteria that do not infect human beings. Well, they did a study, and here's a study they did at the Centers for Disease Control. They did a study where they took these non-pathogenic bacteria that were non-pathogenic for laboratory mice, and they injected one of these bacteria, one injection, into a group of laboratory mice. Nothing happened. The mice were just fine. They took another one of these non-pathogenic bacteria, and they injected that one into a different group of laboratory mice. Nothing happened. Then they took a third group of laboratory mice, and they combined these two non-pathogenic organisms, bacteria, and they injected them into the third group of mice, and they all died. So when you have more than one non-pathogenic bacteria, you can kill the whole crew off. Now, when you're combining 8 to 10 vaccines in one, you're going to have all sorts of supposedly non-pathogenic bacteria, and lots of people are going to die. When they had the swine flu hoax, you will read at the end of this article about the bird flu hoax, which I, by the way, I title, How One Wicked Nation Can Kill Billions of People Around the World with One Lie, and that's the lie of bird flu. At the end of this article, I have these two chapters by this other woman who was also around during the supposed swine flu epidemic, which was another total hoax. You see, first of all, it kills a lot of people, these vaccinations do, and then the pharmaceutical companies make huge amounts of money, and medicine makes huge amounts of money. Now, I don't know any doctors, personally, who sit around and decide there's not enough business, so we want to create an epidemic. However, apparently there are some, and she documents these people in the book, where people in a certain town felt that there wasn't enough disease, and so they brought in, they did a scare about a particular disease. They got everybody vaccinated, and then there was all sorts of disease, and they had a huge increase in business. Now, again, I don't think Stan knows any people like that. I don't know any people like that, but apparently there are some out there. And certainly we know that these agencies, the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health and the World Health Organization are not squeaky clean. And they do not have the good of the American public health at the top of their list. So if you look at the symptoms, as I said to you, you look at the fear-mongering that they're talking about, you can see that this is all a huge hoax. And then when you read the information about the 1918 flu epidemic and the swine flu epidemic, by the way, Gerald Ford promoted this, and a lot of people got vaccinated. 800 people got Guillain-Barré syndrome, which was a terrible paralysis, and a number of people died, and there was no such epidemic at all.
Yeah, I think there was only one person who died of the epidemic, but well over 100, something like 175 died of the vaccination.
Right.
But let me just suggest for the skeptic out there, if you like Tom Clancy novels, you get Rainbow Six. Tom Clancy opens by saying there's information in this story the government doesn't want you to know. It's all about how they used a vaccine to kill millions of people. Sustainable development, which is, of course, what Marie Strong and Al Gore and all of the liberals keep talking about, sustainable development. And these people believe that there are too many people in the world. And how are you going to get rid of them? Well, first of all, you had to get a very real epidemic started. And, of course, then once it got started, why you would tell everybody in the world you're going to have to take the vaccine? The idea was to kill off most of the people in the world with a vaccine. If you like a Tom Clancy novel, it's a great read. If you understand, as he says at the beginning of the book, there's information here that is accurate and the government doesn't want you to know. It'll send chills down your back. The book is Rainbow Six. I recommend it. A little dicey language a few places, but it has a lot more truth than fiction. Pick the story up there.
All right. Now, the sources of information on the internet for this whole promotion of this huge bird flu supposed epidemic that's coming, the main internet address is ProMedISID. You can find it at www.promedmail.org. Now, what we need to do is, now they're promoting big this epidemic. And Henry Nyman gets information off there, and a woman whose pseudonym is Patricia Doyle, who won't tell anybody her real name, is always promoting information from that website. So I went to that website to find out who runs that website that is so heavily promoting bird flu. And guess who it is? It's funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, by the Bill Gates Foundation, by an anonymous donor, and by Oracle Corporation. Now, we know that Rockefellers are a part of the New World Order. So are the Gates part of the New World Order. Oracle Corporation, is the CEO is Lawrence Joseph Ellison, who was born out of wedlock to a 19-year-old mother and raised by her aunt. And they went public in 1986, and here's Ellison's net worth was billions of dollars within a few years. You can't get that rich legally in that short a period of time. It's curious how a little boy born in the Bronx to a 19-year-old amasses a huge multi-billion dollar cash load when he actually lost $3.5 billion and it hardly bothered him.
A whole lot of thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Lorraine Day. We're talking about the avian flu epidemic. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ryan was simply saying that one of the major websites that has a lot of information up there on this on the danger of the avian flu epidemic, she checked out who really funds this, the Rockefeller Foundation. You have to understand, the Rockefeller Foundation is totally dedicated to population control. The Gates Foundation, Bill Gates, on one hand says, oh, we really want, to help the children. You know, that's why we want to give them our vaccines all throughout the world to do away with childhood diseases. But he's also in favor of population control. Why, on one hand, would you want to help the children and preserve their lives? On the other hand, you'd want to kill off as many people as you could. And then she's telling us about a Mr. Ellison. Do you want to pick the story up there?
All right. Ellison is, again, part of this whole cabal that wants population control. And the fourth group that is funding this website is the Nuclear Threat Initiative, and that is run by Ted Turner, who is infamous for wanting to eliminate a large majority of the world's population. He said that publicly on television. And so here we've got these people who are all behind the idea of killing as many people as possible by disease, war, or anything else, and they're the ones who are promoting this false information about the bird flu. So I think it was telling that that Julie Gerberding started out her talk by saying bird flu is not a hoax, it's really a big problem. She's going to have to try to eliminate the truth being out there. So if you look at these things definitively, this is the same thing, by the way, smallpox. Smallpox, we had a big scare, remember, when they were trying to vaccinate all of the troops for smallpox? The same woman, Dr. Sherry Henpenny, who's a doctor, physician, who has access to all these files at the Centers for Disease Control and has extensive research, she has shown that smallpox is just a skin disease. And she has asked every supposed expert in the country, including at the CDC, if people die from smallpox, what in the world do they die from? Because it's a skin disease. And you know what her answer is from every one of them? We don't know. All right, so they don't really die. These are all, if they die from anything, it's because they've gotten contamination from the vaccination, and they die from the vaccination, because smallpox is not a deadly disease. It is a skin disease, which was even amazing to me to find that out. They admitted it. Nobody can tell you it doesn't affect the inner organs, it doesn't affect the vital organs, it doesn't affect the liver, the spleen, or the heart, or any of the vital organs, and so it's not a deadly disease, but they want to vaccinate people, and a lot of people have gotten terrible infections from the infections that ravage their whole body. Babies have died, many babies. I've got pictures of babies who have died from the smallpox vaccination.
Well, Lorena, let me just ask the question, though. Certainly, in centuries past, why, there have been major smallpox outbreaks, which apparently an awful lot of people died from. In fact, it said that one of the reasons why Cortez was able to conquer Mexico is because they brought smallpox with them, and it decimated the natives. Do we have any idea what that was all about?
No, I think that was probably untrue. If the people died from something, they died from something else. Remember, we have had vaccinations around ever since Pasteur, long, long, long ago, and people were dying from vaccinations way back then. The nurse, Florence Nightingale, before Pasteur ever came along with his whole idea of that germs cause disease, you know, Beauchamp said, no, germs don't cause disease. A person has to have a suppressed immune system before they can get sick. And so he said the immune system is everything, the germ is nothing. Pasteur said the germ is everything, the immune system is nothing, and he worked for the government, and so he got his ideas promoted, and of course that's the basis of all of organized medicine now, is you've got a germ for every disease, or you've got a drug for every disease, and so it makes a lot of money. If you go with building up the immune system, as I did to reverse my cancer, that doesn't cost anything. You build it up by eating right, living right, and you don't do it with drugs. So Florence Nightingale, long before Pasteur came along, had already debunked his whole theory of germs causing disease. The only way a germ can cause a disease is if your body is in bad shape already from the way you've been eating and living.
Before we go on, and I do want to get as much coverage as we can, and we're going to be out of time here before we even really begin to get into the bird flu, but I want, of course, to get your website out and how people can get in touch with you.
Yes. If you go to www.drday.com, that's my main website on health, shows you how I got well from severe advanced cancer that really I was considered terminal, and I'm totally alive and well and cancer-free, and it's been 14 years since my tumor first appeared. And one way I got into all of this information was because of what I went through, and I started searching the medical literature, and I saw that much of what all of us doctors were taught in medical school is not correct. And certainly most of what you read in the papers about politics is not correct either. And so you can go there or to my other website, which has three things, spiritual, medical, and political information, and that's www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. All small letters, all one word, goodnewsaboutgod.com.
Okay, fine. Well, pick up the story, and you're certainly talking about smallpox, so I didn't mean to get you off the track, but sometimes we get all the way through the program, and we don't have, people don't know how to get in touch with you, so please go right ahead.
Sure. Well, you know, we hear all these horror stories about smallpox, but again, remember that the winners of wars rewrite history. And so there's so much of history that is wrong that it's very difficult to sort out the truth. Now we find out, from this woman who was there at the 1918 flu epidemic, that the only people who got the flu were that died certainly of the flu were those who were vaccinated. Now my mother was alive during that 1918 flu epidemic. I remember her talking about it. She said, yeah, the flu was going around, but her father, they lived in Brooklyn, which is a high density area. And my grandfather was both a physician and a dentist. He first went to medical school. He didn't like the irregular hours, so he went back and became a dentist. And he practiced dentistry in Brooklyn till he was 88 years old. And so he knew a lot of people in Brooklyn. My mother said they got a light case of the flu, but she said they didn't know anybody in all of Brooklyn who died of the flu. So maybe we're getting a very skewed story of what happened. Because they knew a lot of people in Brooklyn.
Well, the number seems to have gone up from what was always accepted at 20 million. It goes from a 500 million to they keep increasing the number of people.
That's right. It goes
from 20 million to 50 million to 100 million. That's what it's done.
I know. And so when you start seeing things like that, you know that somebody's lying here. And so what I want to tell people is, first of all, vaccinations don't work. They're not safe. Oh, another little thing that I learned from this woman Dr. Tenpenny, who got a lot of her information from the CDC, when they talk about vaccines being effective, they don't tell you how they decide effectiveness. There are two analyses of effectiveness. The first one is, if you inject a certain vaccine that contains bacteria or virus into a person, and that person develops antibodies to that bacteria or virus, they call that effective. All right? But that's research effectiveness. That's not clinical effectiveness. In order to have clinical effectiveness, you have to show that those antibodies actually protect the person from the disease you're trying to protect them from. When you ask the Center for Disease Control if they have done those studies showing that indeed the antibodies protect a person, they say no. They don't even test for that. So these things don't work anyway. And in fact, with the polio, when the polio vaccines came in, if everybody would like to get a wonderful little book on vaccinations, there's a book by Neil Miller, N-E-I-L, Miller, and it's called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? And he has all the documentation in there. He shows for many different diseases. We'll just take one as an illustration, polio. Before the Salk and Sabin vaccines came in, one was injectable, the other one was oral. Before they came in and were made, the incidence of polio had dropped by 80 to 90% just by better food and better sanitation. With the introduction of the vaccines, when millions of people were vaccinated, the slope down of the curve did not change at all. And what that means statistically is that the vaccines had no effect on decreasing the epidemic. Otherwise, the slope of the curve would have dropped off dramatically. But it was already down 90% from what it had been before the vaccines ever came in. But after the vaccines came in, lots of people got polio. But they were all in people who got vaccinated. And instead of calling it polio, because they didn't want people to know they could get polio from the vaccine, they called it aseptic meningitis. So that's how they lie. That's how they lie with the statistics. the slope of the curve for all these different diseases, such as measles and mumps and various other diseases, are all the same. They had already dropped dramatically before any of these vaccines had come into play. Now, another thing is there was virtually no autism before the introduction of vaccination. And the same thing can be said for sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. Dr. Vieira Schreiber has put sensors on these little babies to test their heart rate and their brain waves and their blood pressure and their respirations before they are vaccinated. That was before she did this, before they started vaccinating them when they were still in the hospital. But they would get their vaccinations like at 3 months or something. She put these sensors on these little babies for 2 weeks before they were vaccinated and continued them on for 3 weeks after they were vaccinated. What she found was, and she has published this work, it's available. Her last name is S-C-H-R-I-E-B-E-R. First name is V-I-E-R-A. She's a physician. She showed that all of the vital signs, the pulse, the respirations, the blood pressure and all for these little babies was absolutely normal before they were vaccinated. From the instant they were vaccinated for 3 weeks, they were all over the map. Their blood pressure was out of control. Their respirations were out of control. Frequently, they would stop breathing. Fortunately, they had these little babies hooked up to monitors, so they were alerted when the baby stopped breathing. But clearly, sudden infant death syndrome is caused mainly by vaccinations.
And was that Sherry Shriver?
Vieira. V as in Victor. I-E-R-A.
Okay.
Vieira Schreiber, and it's just astounding information. And this little book by Neil Miller called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? Is available from New Atlantean Press. New Atlantean Press, A-T-L-A-N-T-E-A-N. It's a fabulous little book. It's written for the lay public. It's fully referenced. It has a foreword by a medical doctor. It is just every parent, everybody, should read this book, parent or not. You don't want to get any vaccinations. You're listening to a doctor who for years promoted vaccinations. I had my children vaccinated. I'm ashamed to say so, but I didn't know any better. I was vaccinated. As recently as about 1987, I was vaccinated for hepatitis B, not understanding that these things can be deadly. So vaccines do not work. They are not safe. You need to read those books. I've got information on vaccinations also in my workbook called Getting Started on Getting Well, and showing parents where they can get information to get waivers so their children do not have to be vaccinated in order to go to school. But you don't need a vaccine for the regular flu. All of you people who are they're promoting these things for elderly people and babies, young children. And these are the people who are most harmed by these vaccinations. And this is clearly a mechanism for killing people.
You know, Lorraine, it's so difficult for the average individual to believe that. In fact, you kept telling me that during the AIDS epidemic, and it took me a number of years before I could finally get to the point where I could realize there really are evil and wicked people out there.
Right.
And only when you recognize that can you begin to understand what this is about. I mean, Ted Turner at one point said, we ought to get the world population down to about 200 million. I think he realized that that may be a little bit too much, and I think he said maybe 2 billion, you know, but a dramatic reduction.
Well, I think, you know, it's a good idea. I think we ought to start with Ted Turner. I mean, they never want to start with themselves.
But anybody, of course, who would like a copy of my Population Control Agenda monograph, it's posted on my website. Or you need to understand that it's all written out. You can read it in stone if you want to. I go into the Georgia Guidestones, the American Stonehenge there in Elberton, Georgia. There really are people who want to eliminate most of the population. But then, of course, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that it's scriptural as well. We're told what's going to happen.
That's right. By the way, I found out something interesting you may want to know about Elberton, Georgia. I just wondered, why did they build that in Elberton, Georgia? It must be some occultic place, which is just like a Stonehenge. It talks about that just as you have said, and I found out why.
Tell me why.
Have you ever heard of ley lines?
Yes, in fact, I've been wondering if that was on a ley line.
It is on a ley line. And Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia and Boston and New York are all on the same ley line with each other. I haven't figured out yet whether they're on the same ley line with Elberton, Georgia, but they may be. Now, a ley line, for those of you who don't know, is an occultic line where a lot of occultic memorials are, such as Stonehenge. By the way, Washington, D.C., New York, Philadelphia, and Boston are on the same ley line as Stonehenge.
There's a fellow named Jim Ellison who talks about that. Where did you get the information on that?
I got it off the Internet.
Okay, fine. Well, maybe it very well be Jim Allison's information. I think it's so vitally important. But then let's get into a completely different subject. One time maybe we're going to have to get you back to finish up the story of the avian flu epidemic, because I think it's so vitally important for people to understand that whenever you can mobilize the entire media for some specific purpose, and they keep talking over and over again about the terrible danger, and 130, 150 people are dead. And we have to ask ourselves, why are they focusing our attention on this and not on some other very, really serious dangers to our health?
People say, well, 130 people is a lot of people. You just have to realize how many people are dying around the world every moment. For 160 people to die in all of Asia, and again, every single death is important to the Lord. I'm not suggesting that some person's death is not important. I'm just saying you've got to look at statistics if you're going to talk about an epidemic or a pandemic. 130 people out of 3 billion is not an epidemic, and they're trying to get it there. Now, let me tell you what else they're doing here. The CDC and the government are trying to get bird flu so it will infect humans. This is another article I just recently received. Are we going off the air or not?
Well, we're going to a break here in just a moment.
Okay. All right. I'll wait until after the break.
All right. Well, you go ahead and keep talking. Okay. I'll get you to stop. Go ahead.
Okay. The CDC and the government are trying to get bird flu to transmit from human to human. And what they'll, of course, say is we just want to create this virus that will easily infect humans. So if it ever happens in nature by chance, we'll be ready with a drug to treat it.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Okay, Lorraine, we've got about 3 minutes. Where can we get that? Because not to be at all surprised at the fact that they would want to convert this disease so it would become communicable, but where is that?
Okay, here's what it is. There's a Wall Street Journal article, and it was reported by the United Press International on March 24, 2006. The CDC, this is a quote, CDC scientists inside an ultra-secret laboratory are combining the genes of the H5N1 avian virus, which is bird flu, with the genes of an H3N2 virus, which is the strain behind most recent regular human flu outbreaks, unquote. Now, if you can't get that, if you go on my website at goodnewsaboutgod.com and go to either the political or the medical part, and it's under the U.S. creates a bird flu virus mutation to infect human beings.
All right, so go to Lorraine's website. I've learned through the years that if Lorraine says she has something, she has it. But you'll want to see that. You'll want to be able to show this to others. Ask yourself, why would they do that? And ask your friends, why would they do something that stupid unintentionally?
That's right. And here's the rest of the quote. This is a quote from the same article in the Wall Street Journal. Quote, the goal is to substitute to the 8 genes of each virus one by one with the 8 genes from the other virus to see which of more than 250 possible combinations will create flu viruses that can easily spread among humans, unquote. How do you like that?
Well, I would not be at all surprised if they really were looking to create a new epidemic.
Right. They're trying to get this thing, and this thing isn't spreading fast enough, and they've got, you know, the other thing they say in this most recent thing, that this cat got bird flu from eating the birds, and yet they're telling humans, you can't get bird flu from eating chickens. You can only get it from handling them, I guess, before you eat them, but so humans can't get bird flu from eating chickens because they have to protect the chicken industry, you know, Tyson Foods and all that, but they say cats can get them from eating bread. I mean, it's all so stupid.
But you see, sometimes I think we live in a world gone mad. Other times I'm absolutely convinced of it. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Lorraine Day. And, of course, her website, www.drday, that's drday.com, or www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. Lorraine, how about coming on again sometime real soon? We'll finish this up.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Good night, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest this evening, Dr. Lorraine Day, who's been a friend for a long time, and certainly we had a wonderful run trying to stop the AIDS epidemic, and we failed it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and just commenting that Dr. Lorraine Day, certainly, and I were appeared on many television programs and traveled across the country trying to convince people that we had a major epidemic in America and we weren't trying to stop it, and every barrier was being put in the way to prevent a standard public health approach being used to stop this terrible disease. 500,000 Americans are dead, totally unnecessarily. Another million are infected. They're all going to die unnecessarily. The only good thing about the disease is that it is not going to affect the general population. It's having a devastating effect on the black population. About half the new cases are in blacks, so they only make up 10% of the population. It is decimating Africa because, well, I believe that this is genetically modified disease. And if you doubt that we worked on that, that we actually created this new disease, we suggest that you order from Radio Liberty a complete testimony given by Dr. Donald MacArthur on the 1st of July, 1969. We have this, where he talks about how they wanted this $10 million to create a new disease that has never existed before, for which there will be no immune response. And, you know, some people think we shouldn't do this because it's another method of mass killing, but we want the money because we want to produce it. And 10 years, they said it would take 10 years to develop the disease, and 10 years later, why, the first cases of AIDS developed in San Francisco. Now, of course, they were not recognized until 1981, but they were there at the time, and young gay men were beginning to die. And of course, if you get into the background, you realize that this was in the vaccine, the experimental hepatitis B vaccine given at that time, and 75% of the young men who took that vaccine came down with AIDS, and most are already dead. Could anything be that evil? You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. It's a video, or it's a VHS, pardon me, or DVD, either one of those you can get. You need to get my population control agenda monograph from my website, or you can order that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You need to see my a video on population control, our 4-tape set on population control. In the last 33 years, 100 million people have died from malaria after the United States banned DDT totally unnecessarily. And now, of course, in Africa, we're beginning to use it again. About 100 million people have died. It doesn't seem real until, of course, you begin to understand that we're dealing with organized evil on a scale that is so difficult for the average individual's mind to grasp. And, of course, what we're trying to make people understand is we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls and, yes, the lives of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And what is happening is not accidental. It's very real. And certainly, if you'd like, of course, to go to our website, we have so much information there on the New Order, the Barbarians, certainly one of my favorite 4-tape sets. Goes into the plan of the order, and it's a series of interviews with a man who heard the plan described by Dr. Richard Day, who was in charge of medical division of Planned Parenthood. That's the New Order of the Barbarians, a 4-tape set with a transcript you really need to get. And then, of course, the Tuskegee study, where they actually recruited 400 black men back in 1931. And withheld treatment from them because they wanted to kill them right here in America. And what was really so shocking about this whole experiment was they called in a number of professors from various medical schools around the country, 11 of them. And 10 of them said, it's perfectly all right to do this. It's in the name of science. They're going to die. We want to autopsy them, but that's all right. It's in the name of science. And one doctor said, this is murder. You're killing these men. Well, this 4-tape set is one of the great sets we have, because it has an interview with James Jones, who wrote the classic book on this, and then a two-hour interview with a man who broke the case. It's called the Tuskegee Study. Not very many people are interested in those black men anymore, but we should be, because every one of them is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Dr. Stan back here, Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls unless we ask specifically for them, because right now we have with us from the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company, Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, how are you doing today?
Fine, Dr. Stand. Thank you for having me again today.
Well, tell us now, what happened when they raised the interest rates today, or did they raise the interest rates?
They raised them a quarter point today, and it's just amazing that this is all we've heard about for the past month or so, you know, what the Fed is going to do. So it wasn't much of a surprise that they raised it a quarter point, and it had an impact on the dollar. The dollar was down today. Naturally, the stocks roared today. The stocks were up considerably today. The foreign markets are up considerably. You know,
What happened to gold? Gold at the end of the day just took off like a big bird.
Yes, it did. In fact, today gold reached a high of 592.90, and it did retreat to $587.10. It was but at the aftermarket, it is up about $13-14. It's having a tough time breaking the $600 level. And so, as soon as they closed the market, it sprung up about $13-14, and it's been there ever since. We do have a little bit of light trading in the aftermarket, but we'll have to see if it will be able to hold those gains when it comes to our markets in the morning. So
well, what I like to do, of course, is go to Kitco on the Internet and look up what's happening in the Dubai market, because, of course, this is a market that's not anywhere near as controlled as our market. For ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know it or not, everything is manipulated. Everything is an illusion. And they manipulate the stock market. They manipulate the price of gold and silver. And it's done certainly by the great banks, working in conjunction with the Federal Reserve and certainly our own Treasury Department. And you know, here you can see this interrelationship. I mean, these people give incest a bad name. Who's the new Secretary of the Treasury? His name is Mr. Paulson. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs. I mean, who was the Secretary of the Treasury there under Bill Clinton? It was a man named Robert Rubin. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs. I mean, where did the Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board come from? Paul Volcker. He came from either Citibank or Chase Manhattan, and certainly Alan Greenspan came from J.P. Morgan Banking. These people don't represent us. They represent the power elite, who control our economy, and they control even how we feel every day. Because they, if the market's going up, we feel good. If the market's going down, we feel bad. And, of course, it's amazing how they could manipulate our reality. But also what they're doing is destroying the value of our currency. And it's really only a matter of time, in my estimation, before the whole financial infrastructure of this society begins to crumble. They know exactly what they're doing. If you read the article that Paul Volcker wrote in April of last year in the Washington Post, he said, "We're skating on very thin ice. Things look fine outwardly, but beneath the surface there are very, very dangerous situations." I believe that, and we're going to be back here in just a moment with Melody Cederstrom as we begin exploring what's going on behind the scenes and what you're going to have to do to protect yourself if you have any hope of maintaining anything when the crash comes. Well, Melody, pick up the story.
So we had a great day, and we look to see that gold does continue to stay around that $600 level. We hope that it, we think it's found a bottom from the major correction that we've had from the $730 range a little over a month ago. So we're optimistic, and silver also was up 37 cents in the aftermarket at $10.87, along with platinum that was up also $22 in the aftermarket at $1,218. So it is very true that the world truly depends on that dollar strength, and it's almost like, you know, we've heard talk about Russia wanting to change out its back its ruble by gold. We have all the you have Iran, you have the Arab nations, you have China, you have India, who all want to come out of the dollar and purchase gold. But they also know that when they do, when they abandon the dollar, it certainly could set off a chain reaction that will affect them. So it's truly a balancing act. And it's interesting to see how when you watch the markets throughout the day, I mean, you can see at certain times when you talk about manipulation, you can see the times of the day when things change, when the numbers change, and it's almost at the same time every day. It's always in corresponding with the dollar, and it's so obvious anymore, and it just amazes me that so few people can see the true manipulation. But the fundamentals for gold have not changed. We've seen this major correction. If anything, things have gotten extremely worse since even a month and a half ago. We have major things happening overseas in the Middle East. Things are beginning to, you know, be very tense. I guess Israel is going, they're, you know, certainly taking, doing certain, I'm not a military person, but they're throwing some, I don't think bombs or whatever you want to call it, missiles or over in the Gaza. They started this evening, so that will all have a major impact. Oil is up, was up over $73 again today. It seems like every time they try to break $70 for oil, they bring it right back. So I believe that, you know, they have to keep oil around the $70 mark, and that's where it's going to stay, and then we know how that will filter down into our everyday life, as we know so many of the products that we own along with our gasoline will just continue to rise. And hey, I guess you can call that inflation.
Hold that thought for a beat. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And, of course, Melody does support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate her support, and we love having her on because we think it's so vitally important that we try to keep people abreast of what is really going on. Now, ordinarily, when the interest rates go up, why, that should raise the value of the dollar. At least traditionally, it always would, except in this instance, why, the dollar did just the opposite from what you'd expect, didn't it?
Well, the dollar's strength came prior to the actual announcement. That's why they were talking about the quarter point interest rate, you know, for so long, because it was able to maintain the dollar strength prior to that. But everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows, you know, when you have things happening overseas and people won't admit it, people won't accept it, and you have these foreign countries that they know they need to diversify into other currencies and gold. But again, it's all a balancing act, because when we fall, when our dollar falls, everyone falls. And that troubles me when you have people out there talking about investments into other currencies, and it's just... people need to understand at this point in time, you know, unless you have an abundance of funds and that you can place and gamble with, you need to protect yourself with purchasing gold and silver and putting them in your portfolios.
Well, there are a lot of people, of course, with a lot of wealth who are going into these hedge funds, and there, of course, they hire very, very expert managers, and they get 15-20% return every year. And, you know, when the market's going up, when things are looking good, why, you can accomplish things like that, and you can carry money from Japan to Iceland or to New Zealand or South Africa, borrow low, rent to a... lend out high, you borrow low, you lend out high, you make a very good income on your investment. But when things begin to get a little shaky, which things are doing now, all throughout the world, interest rates are going up. Now, our interest rates have gone up another 0.5%, but they're beginning to raise interest rates in Europe. And why are they doing that? Why? Because they're worried about inflation. And inflation destroys the value of currency. Inflation has nothing to do with rising prices. It has to do with increasing the money supply, where you have more money chasing ever-declining number of goods. And so the price of those goods goes up because there's too much money out there, and it drives the price up. This is why the price of homes has been going up, because there's so much money. And now that interest rates are going up and some of this money is beginning to disappear, and it's all based upon debt, there is no money or hardly any money. It's all based upon debt, and as this debt begins to disappear, then the so-called money, which doesn't exist, begins to disappear, and this leads you open for a tremendous contraction and then for a tremendous fall. And as Melody was saying, Iran is trying to get out of dollars, anything having to do with dollars, because they're afraid that we are going to freeze their funds, as we did back in 1979, and the same thing is true of Syria. They know that they're in the crosshairs of America. And certainly Russia wants to get out of dollars, because they want their currency to rival America as the currency of the world. And so they're beginning to buy more gold and divest themselves of dollars. Everybody is trying to get out of dollars as fast as they can, without, of course, creating a run on the situation, which would hurt them, because they have so much of their reserves in dollars, which are backed by absolutely nothing but the integrity of our Federal Reserve System, which has betrayed its responsibility and has set us, the entire world, up for a financial collapse. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I was reading an article earlier today. The only thing that is backing the dollar at this point in time is basically our military. I mean, that is the only thing that is backing the dollar. And at one point in time, it was we were a great country. We manufactured. We don't manufacture anything. We don't produce anything anymore. We don't export. We import more food than we export. And, you know, I don't know how many of the listeners out there watch Lou Dobbs, but I was watching a segment last night where they were talking about they were bringing in Chinese. There was a firm, a China a Chinese firm that was talking to this town down in Mississippi to bring workers, about 3,000 of them, to help rebuild their town. As this town looks on across the river and they see all these major gambling casinos being rebuilt, and that's where all the money is being funneled. But, I mean, can you believe that we actually have to import Chinese workers in order to rebuild these towns that were devastated by Katrina? To me, it just, you know, and this firm is going around to these little towns that can't get help, they can't rebuild, you know, and there's no talk of that. And then you see articles where the $2 billion worth of fraud is going on from the Katrina. I mean, this country is just, it's just so out of control, and it's very disturbing, and
Well, sometimes we think we live in a world gone mad. Other times I'm absolutely convinced we live in a world gone mad. But I think that if you really, of course, see what's happening, and you realize, for instance, the implications of the immigration bill that was passed by the Senate. They were going to allow a massive influx of non-skilled workers to come into this country, but also a massive influx of skilled workers that would be competing with the people who are working today in the, you know, in Silicon Valley and other engineering and electronic jobs, and they would simply undercut the workers who were here. And we're talking probably 150,000 to 175,000 of these people coming under these special visas for highly trained people. But what's that going to do to the people who are already here? And it's just going to drive their wages down. And that's what this is really all about. But they can't tell the American people that there really is a plan to impoverish us and make us totally dependent upon government.
You would think that a lot of the American people out there would be tired of working two and three jobs in order to make ends meet. You think they would be tired of continuing to be in debt and seeing prices rise along with gasoline. You know, I ask myself, when will that day come when they actually become tired of it, and they will begin to seek out answers and to what is happening to them? Or will they just go along with the system and just be allowed to be pushed and shoved, and they will just submit to whatever it is handed to them? And unfortunately, that's another story. But,
well, you know, I think it's so interesting. I watch the 11 o'clock news, NBC News, every night, and they will have these articles on there. People are beginning to cut back on their driving, and they will have half a dozen people they interview and sitting in their cars or the gas station. Oh, yeah, the price of oil and gas is getting up so high that we just can't be taking our vacations. We had to give up our plan to go to the beach this summer because prices are too high. Now, is this really the case? Or are they trying to implant in our minds that this is how we should react? And I think they are trying to manipulate us. So many of the things you see on television are aimed at manipulating us. It was last night or the night before, they had a series of interviews with people having to do with housing and how people are not buying the houses they were before in the past. They'd keep bidding up the price of the houses, but the price of houses, of new houses, seems to be stabilizing, and it's taking longer and longer and longer to sell them. What they're doing is they're planting in our minds this idea that the housing market is on the verge of collapse. Why? Because they want to collapse the housing market. That's what it's all about. This is not news reporting. This is manipulation of the public. And when you understand that, why, you understand what's really going on.
You're absolutely right. And I don't understand. And I mean, you read all the articles, you do understand how the manipulation works, and people don't read anymore. They don't pick up newspapers. They listen to the radio. And, of course, we know what mainstream radio is all about, or if it is on the 6 o'clock news with, you know, whoever's, you know, they've been changing around so much, but whoever's there, they believe them. They believe it's the truth. They believe that they've done their research and they're reporting these stories without with an open view. And but you would think someday along the line they will wake up, but by that time they will probably have lost a lot of what they have. Of course, a lot of them anymore, all they have is debt. So, but they will be more and more into debt.
So. Well, I think it's really so interesting that in China and in Japan, the people are saving a large part of their income. In China, it said that people, you know, they don't make that much, but they save half of everything, of course, that they make. Why? They're looking after themselves when they grow old, because they know that there's not going to be any Social Security system there to look after them. Same thing is true here in America. It is just that nobody's told the American people that there's no money in the Social Security Trust Fund, and that just 11 years from now, why Social Security starts putting out more than it's taking in, and so they're going to have to go to the Social Security Trust Fund to begin pulling out money. But where is the Social Security Trust Fund? Well, it really exists. It's in a filing cabinet in Washington, D.C. It's in a drawer, and it's in a folder in that drawer, and it's a folder full of IOUs from the federal government. Where will the government get the money? It doesn't have the money. The only thing it can do is tax us more so people can get Social Security, borrow from other countries, but then how much can you borrow from other countries? We're already, of course, they owe $3 trillion more of us than we owe of them, and they own so much of our treasury bonds, and then, of course, you can just simply print the money. That's one way of doing it, but then you destroy the value of the currency, so no matter what they do, it's a lose-lose situation. And so many people in America are not as smart as the people over in the Orient. They're saving for their future. Here, we're living it up because we don't think that anything bad could happen in America. Or they can always go out and borrow some money on their house if they need it. But what happens when the value of that house plummets and it's worth far less than what you actually owe on it? What happens when money is not readily available to borrow? Then what do you do? And where do you get the funds to live on? If your pension fund collapses, and if Social Security doesn't have any money in the Social Security Trust Fund. Well, Melody, I think we come on here every week, and we say a lot of bad things about what's going on, and yet somebody has to tell the American people the truth. I mean, the average individual out there who has Social Security and has been paying into it for years has no idea that all of their money's already been spent. It's like, you know, putting your money in the bank and having the banker go out and live high on the hog and retire with a tremendous pension like our elected representatives. And yet, of course, when people go to withdraw their money from the bank, it just isn't there.
No, and I always have to laugh because about once a year I'll receive something from Social Security telling me how much money I'm going to have when I retire. But there's going to be a rude awakening to the majority of people out there that will be retiring, to the baby boomers that will be retiring in the next year or so, because when they're going to be pulling out their funds. So I believe the system will correct prior to these baby boomers ready to pull their markets from the, to pull their retirement funds. And so I think, you know, with the pension funds and with the stock market, I think you're going to see things happen quite rapidly in the next year and a half, because these people will not be allowed to pull their money. So, you know, I believe they will have, these people aren't going to walk away with their retirements to what they expect it to be. So, when you talk about pension plans, when you talk about the retirement plans, they're not going to get it.
And of course, I think we've seen this last week where Delta has simply defaulted on their pension fund.
Yeah.
So it's
going to
be turned over to the pension guarantee. It's pension parent guarantee fund, a government fund, only it doesn't have any money. All it has is debt. It's supposed to have the money there to pay the pensions if the major corporations default, but it doesn't have it. It's, I think, about $10-15 billion in debt, with a potential liability of about $500 billion, $450 billion. And certainly we see Delphi and many of the other large corporations, United, have defaulted on their pension funds. There's a good chance that General Motors will as well, and that Ford will. Ford, actually, they reevaluated their bonds recently, and the Fords are lower and lower and lower. They have less and less value, and there's less and less chance that the people who hold those bonds are ever going to get anything out of them. That's bonds for Ford Motor Company. The same is true with General Motors. Of course, Ford is shutting down its manufacturing in the United States and moving its major plants to Mexico. General Motors is moving its major plants to the Orient. And all these people here in the United States expecting to have a comfortable pension for the rest of their lives, I think are in for a rude awakening.
They certainly are. And that's one thing, the listeners to your show, and I know a lot of the listeners listen to a lot of the other shortwave programs, and they should be very they're very fortunate that they get to learn the truth, and more so than the mainstream people, the common word, the people out there. And, you know, we talk about the auto manufacturers. I was reading an article about Nissan, of how poorly they treat their employees, and, you know, they're mainly getting a $12 an hour wage compared to some of the others, and, you know, it's just a matter of time until, again, they also begin to lower their wage, and people have got to wake up, and people got to take control, and
Well, they need to protect their wealth. This is the thing. Because, of course, the stability of a nation is dependent upon the stability of the currency. And if you have an unstable currency, you have an unstable society. This is the message that nobody's putting out today.
No, they're not.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, it was rather exciting today, as we saw after the close of the gold market. Gold really skyrocketed. Silver skyrocketed. Platinum went up strongly. What do you think the reason for that was? Do you have any ideas?
My idea is they suppressed it. Gold was up strong this morning. It was up above. It was 592 to settle at 587. They did the same for the past couple of days. It went up big in the morning, you know, and by the time the close comes along, they knock it down a few dollars. 600 is a very strong level, and if we can get past the 600, I think we'll see some incredible things happen in gold. But we have to remember that even though we've had this correction, the fundamentals for gold, and we've talked for this past half hour of why people need to own gold. Central banks are buying gold. They're not buying wheat. They're not buying corn. They're not buying silver. They're not buying platinum. They're not buying palladium. They're buying gold. And they will be turning their dollars that they hold into gold. It's just a matter of time. And they're big buyers of gold. They didn't want to buy gold when it was at 730, but I'll guarantee you they like the level where it's at now, and I'll guarantee you there's a lot of buying going on now in the gold market. And we also had the end of the quarter, and your fund managers, they'll be getting back. We have a slow couple of days, a slow week with July 4th, so there'll be light trading, and when those managers get back, they'll be ready to invest their money that they've received. So I think we could see a number of things happen to the gold. But the key thing is, as long as we found a bottom, and the reports, the estimates of gold haven't changed. You know, they still talk with gold and catching up with inflation to a minimum of $1,700. And but if you watch when the dollar was correcting, at the time we saw gold rise to 730, it was gold 730. They had to knock it down, and they had to make the dollar get a little bit stronger, and they just can't keep it there. And it's just a day to day, hour to hour, maybe even minute to minute of micromanaging the economies of the world. And so it's real important that people get protected and get gold and silver in their portfolios.
Well, I think it's so interesting, of course, that certainly if America was standing as an independent nation now, they would be able to manipulate our economy. They would be able to manipulate all of our commodities, and they would be able to manipulate every aspect of what goes on in our society. But America is no longer, of course, isolated in the world. And certainly we have many countries and central banks that are working hand in glove with our central banks. But then we have, of course, some central banks in other countries that represent the interests of those countries. And specifically, the Chinese central bank is interested in preserving China's situation in the world. Now, you have to understand Japan. We've occupied Japan going back to 1945. Their central bank does our bidding. I believe the German central bank, which we have occupied that country since the end of the Second World War, they do our bidding. But Iran and Syria and I believe Saudi Arabia, I believe many of the Arab countries are not going along with our programs. And these people have
a great deal of
money, and I think they're going to... Uh-oh, we lost Melody, and I'm going to ask our producer to get Melody back on again. But, you know, I think that we have all of these other... all of these other countries that are beginning to look after their interests. Certainly, Iran is moving their wealth out of the dollar because they fear that it'll be frozen as it was after the episode in 1979 after the hostage crisis. And I think that more and more countries are going to begin to break with the United States. I think that the European countries, even though many of their central banks are very, very favorable to our position, I think that there are people over there who really don't like America and don't like their policies. I'm going to ask Ari if he'll go ahead and get Melody back on the line. We lost her, but hopefully we'll get Melody back here and get her ideas. But if you're out there, the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and certainly our local number is 464-8295, and if we could just get Ari to give Melody a call while we get her back on the line. I don't know what happened to Melody. Anyway, we hope that you'll give us a call if you have any question or comment. We need, of course, to let people understand so they can begin making preparations. As Paul Volcker said, we're skating on very thin ice. And if you incidentally haven't read his speech, it's included in almost in total in our financial tsunami syllabus. You really need to get a copy of that so that you can intelligently describe and discuss what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We got Melody back on the line. I don't know what happened. Those phones get dead. Anyway, if it does happen again, why just give us a call and we'll all want to get you back again. Anyway, what's been happening as far as your customers are concerned? What was their response at all to the skyrocketing price of gold after hours today? I mean, have they been taking advantage of this slump in the price of gold and silver to begin to accumulate?
You know, it's interesting. You see the psychology of people and the way the psychology of the market dropping. They're waiting for a bottom. They're looking for a bottom. You have the larger customers who always have a tendency to take. They take the buying opportunity and they add to their portfolios. But you do see people become complacent. They think, oh, you know, they're never ever going to let it rise. It's never going to go to 1700. They fall under the powers of those who, and that's exactly what they want to happen. And so you see, it gets very quiet. Of course, we're going into a major holiday, you know, July 4th, but, so you see people just become a little quiet. I mean, we've been doing this, we're in our 13th corporate year, so we have a good clientele that continues to purchase, but you do see the change in their attitude, the change in the urgency to purchase. You know, when we saw gold reaching 730, it was, I just want it, you know, this is my money, you know, just give me whatever there is available to have. Now it's, well, they're becoming a little more, you know, I'm not sure if I want to do it now. They begin to question their decisions to purchase gold. So that's what I see now. They're afraid that it's going to break 500. But they don't understand that if it does break, if it does correct a little bit further, if this isn't the bottom, which I think it is, but if we haven't, there's always that, you know, their opportunity to make gold go down. It will come back. I mean, we're in the bull market. The bull market is still there. The fundamentals are still there.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Melody. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And before we go on, Melody, I want you to get your telephone number, your webpage out, so people will know how to get in touch with you.
The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. And again, 1-800-375-4188. And the website is, it's a long one, Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And that little word "and" is spelled out, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, 1-800-375-4188. And there's a couple of announcements I'd like to make, Dr. Stan, if it's okay. For the listeners, particularly in Pennsylvania, if you live in Pennsylvania and you purchase gold or silver as an investment from any dealer here in Pennsylvania, there is a sales tax that is charged. But right now there is a Senate Bill 1076 that is up, and that will eliminate the sales tax for investments on gold and silver bullion. So please call your representative and push for the exemption of state sales tax on coins of precious metal bullion, and ask them for their support of Senate Bill 1076. The governor was pushing for the approval of the budget for July 5th, but since we've had quite a few floods here, I'm sure they might be preoccupied, so I'm not sure if the budget, I mean, they never got the budget done before the fifth, you know, before their deadlines anyway, so, but please call your representatives, and anyone, I guess, could call, and, but particularly those people in Pennsylvania, call your representatives for the support of Senate Bill 1076. So you can begin buying precious metals from dealers in your state, and there will be no sales tax.
What about people who are outside the state? Do the people outside the state have to pay the sales tax?
No, they don't.
All right, that's just the way it is here in California, of course. You know, I don't know about the sales tax on gold and silver, but I do know that certainly if we can sell our various products we have outside the state, we're fine. But here, if you're in California, where you're going to have to pay more, you know, buy exactly the same product. So I certainly hope you get that legislation through.
Well, it can be done. Ohio was a state that just recently added sales tax to their precious metals. So you Ohio listeners, call Pennsylvania. That way you can buy your gold and silver from Pennsylvania. And when I was in Missouri, we also had, we lobbied to have that tax repealed. So it does happen. So call your representative and ask for them to support Senate Bill 1076. Most of them probably won't even know what it is, but you might have to tell them. Also, the Mint came out this month with a new coin. I'm not sure if you heard about it, Dr. Stan.
That's the buffalo, isn't it?
It's the golden buffalo. It was the old legendary symbol of the American West, and the coin will be slightly larger and thicker than a Kennedy half dollar. It will contain a 1 ounce of gold, and it will be 24 karat gold, and it will be designated a $50 gold piece. But it is the replica of the popular buffalo nickel that was minted from 1913 to 1938. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because there's basically three different types of that coin in which you can purchase. You can purchase just the regular gold bullion. It comes in a little soft plastic. It's protected to some degree. But when you have that 24 karat gold, it's a very soft metal. You can take your fingernail and scratch it. So, and anytime you scratch your coins, of course, it takes the value away from it. So you do have to protect them. And so you can purchase it in just that 1 ounce, 24 karat coin. Then the Mint is producing proof coins.
and you can purchase them by calling the Mint. They'll run about $800 around this level for gold. They're to only produce about 300,000 of them. And a proof coin is sort of aimed at collectors. The coin will have a finer finish and a higher quality strike. So they're very pretty. They come with the U.S. Mint certification and all that. Then they've graded the certification companies, the top three, NGC, PCGS, and ICG. They've come out and they slab these coins. And I want the listeners to beware of dealers who are selling the slab certified gold buffalo coins. And the reason I say this is they're coming out and saying you should buy the slab coins because it will help protect the coin. Well, I think most of us are adults and they can, you know, you can pretty well take care of your coins to where they don't get all beat up and everything. You're going to put them in a safe and store them. But what they do is they're going to charge about $100 more. And just like the gold eagle, anytime you buy a gold eagle from the Mint, when the Mint produces them, it's basically an MS-69 coin. It just hasn't been slabbed. When they slab the coins, they're basically saying the new ones that they were never in circulation. Well, none of these coins were in circulation. So basically, when you buy them, even if you bought a roll of them, they're all MS-69s, but they just haven't been slabbed.
So tell us, what do you mean by slabbed?
To where they're actually certified and sealed in a container that states it's an MS-69 graded coin. It's uncirculated. And it's just like a numismatic coin that is certified in its own container where it's hermetically or sonically sealed in its container where you can't touch the coin, where it's protected, and that it is certified by the certification company saying that it is what it is. And that's where you get the Mint State 60 through 70 designations. So my point, what I'm saying is these coins, these bullion coins, and that's what they are. They're bullion coins. They're slabbing them, and dealers are charging a couple of $100 more for these coins that would cost you $35 to send them to me to get them certified. So, you know, you don't have to pay the additional hundreds of dollars to get them in those containers.
Yeah.
So just buy the regular coin. Save yourself some money and get yourself more ounces of gold for your money.
And so there's always a new way to scam the people.
You know, I think it's fine if for gifts, if you want to have them certified and buy them certified, they're great for gifts. But if you're really looking to invest your money, that truly is not the way to do it. Because what happens is the resale value in those, like the 1 ounce gold eagles, if they're certified MS-69, what happens is so often when you sell them back on the market, they break them out of the containers, they melt the coin.
Really don't understand the coin market, and it's so easy to take advantage of them, especially if you've got a glib-talking salesman.
And there's a lot of them out there.
I know there are, especially in the gold and silver market.
Well, not here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We tell you the truth, and we put together great portfolios for the clients, and you know, we've been doing it for 13 years, and everyone makes money. We stretch, because I know how hard it is to obtain funds. I know how hard people work, and they want the dollar, their funds to be stretched, and you need to get as much gold and silver as possible for your dollar, and because the dollar is buying less and less every day. So I just wanted to make those two little notations for the listeners out there.
All right, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, I really do believe that what we saw, really, with the recent fallout of gold about 3 weeks ago, and gold and silver, this was obviously somebody manipulating it. And right now, of course, even after the market closed, suddenly the skyrocketing, really, of gold up to, well, at least I had about almost $600 an ounce after hours, I suggest that the normal forces of the market are coming to play, and you'll see those more in Dubai rather than you will in either London or in New York, which I believe are both under the control of the World Gold Cartel. But Dubai, you have a market there. You have certainly a lot of Arabs. This would be more of a free market. And, of course, there must be other gold markets. Is there any gold markets over in the Orient?
We have the Shanghai Exchange China will be purchasing a lot of gold to support that, and we all know that they understand that they need to purchase gold for their they understand what it's all about.
In other words, the average Chinese really doesn't trust paper money.
No, they don't.
But the American people do. They've just been dumbed down to believe that it's as good as gold, and the truth of the matter, it isn't. It is all a matter of perception.
Not that they trust the dollars, they trust the government, and that's the bad. You know, they don't think the government, they think the government, they've been told the government will protect them, and they won't allow things to happen. And I saw it when I worked at the savings and loan. We were in meetings every day where they said, you know, the government will not allow that. You had FSLIC that would protect people's funds, and if you look at the dollar, these banks' reserves compared to the amount of money that is in circulation, all it would take would be a little bit of a run on a bank, and the banks would have to close. And we certainly have enough situations that could create any number of people running to the bank to withdraw their funds. But the funds aren't there, and the reserves are declining as more and more loans and more money that the banks are lending out. So.
I want to think for our listeners out there, one of the most amazing things I've seen, and I've seen quite a few things through the years, but it is the latest, they call them the zip figures, or the figures on total debt put out by the Fed. And if any of you would like to see a copy of this, actually we're inserting this in the Financial Tsunami syllabus because it's just come up since the syllabus was put together. But in the first 3 months of this year, the total debt here in the United States, and that includes federal, state, local, car, home, personal credit card debt. The total debt here in the United States went from $40.6 trillion to $41.6 trillion. In the 3 month period, it increased $1 trillion. Now, if it were to do that for the rest of the year, we'd be talking about, a 10% increase in debt. And, of course, how many years can you have that sort of a massive increase in debt before the whole system collapses? Because debt has to be repaid. And, of course, as the interest rates go up higher and higher, people either have to pay off their debt or simply be enslaved by the interest rates. I think what is really so unconscionable is how they have scammed our college students. They got our college students to borrow money because it was only 3% interest. Why, that's almost just like giving them a loan for nothing. And then it went to 3.5% and 4% and 4.5% and 5% and 5.5%. And as of the 1st of July, which is just 2 days away from now, the interest on those student loans, if they have not been refinanced, will be 7.1%. And it doesn't take very long before the principal doubles if you're not paying off the principal. So what they've done is they've scammed our college students. They've changed the bankruptcy laws so that they can't go bankrupt and just ignore their debt. And many of these young people are starting their lives as almost indentured servants to the people who've lent them the money. And, of course, this would be a government agency, the Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, I'm not sure which one, held so many of these loans. And they're guaranteed by the government. They're not going to lose. It's only the student who's going to lose.
And these students, it's not like they're only, it takes $20,000 to go to college. I mean, we're looking at, $100,000. Plus.
And what a terrible way to start life. And, you want to get a house, you want to get married, and yeah. But you got this tremendous debt overhanging you. And a lot of these students, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt, maybe even more in certain circumstances, depend on how long they've been borrowing and whether they've been paying it back. But there is no way out of this debt, unfortunately. No way at all.
And the sad thing is when they graduate, when these college students graduate, what type of jobs do they found? so many of them can't even use the degrees in which they earned. They have to go and take anything just to provide some sort of an income. And that's truly sad after they've spent the time and the money to try and do something with their life. And that makes it even worse.
And of course, you know, of course, you can still get some pretty good jobs, and certainly the unions are still functioning and making sure you get a good job and a good benefits. But there is a conscious, organized effort to destroy the unions in this company, whether it be the Teamsters or the longshoremen, or even the grocery clerks and other unions. And as they bring in more and more people into this country who work for less and less, who are pleased to come here and work for $6 or $7 or $8 an hour. You just can't live on that sort of an income. And unfortunately, I think increasingly we're going to see the gradual level of our wages diminished. I think it is part of a planned program to eliminate the middle class. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
I agree also. I was watching the hearings for Paulson this week, and they were talking about the middle class, and he came out and he basically said that he was real concerned, and he thinks a lot about the middle class. And you know, the way he said it, it was like he almost choked on his words. And they don't care about the middle class, and they certainly do want to eliminate it, because the middle class was, I believe, probably one of the classes that it was more difficult to control, so they may as well eliminate it. And so, I mean, I agree with you. And
this really is an amazing individual. He gave up a salary of $40 million a year. He gave up a salary of $40 million a year to take a job that was only going to pay $180,000 a year. That is a tremendous personal sacrifice on his part. I wonder what he's going to get in compensation.
All for his country.
Right.
Yeah. But it was interesting, too, because one of the things that really caught my attention, I mean, I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, but for the short time that I did, they were talking about a program in which to create for whistleblowers for taxes. So you can, so the American people would get paid in order to whistleblow on people who cheated on their taxes. And the person who was controlling the meeting or the hearings was his, it was his project, and he certainly urged Paulson to put that as one of his priorities once he gets confirmed. And so this is what they are doing. And I couldn't believe the amount of time that they spent talking about whistleblowing for taxes when you turn around and you have $2 billion being wasted for the Katrina hurricane disaster.
Right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, one more time, let's get your telephone number out there.
1-800-375-4188.
1-800-375-4188. Well, Melody, we got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'd like to tell the listeners, don't become discouraged with the gold and silver, with the corrections that we have. It is certainly an opportunity to purchase and to add to your portfolio. And if you're waiting for a bottom, I think we've seen it. Of course, no one has a crystal ball, and no one can underestimate the power of the elitists to do any further manipulation for the prices. But we do have to understand that the central banks, you have Russia, we have China, we have India, you have Iran, you have Venezuela, you have all these countries that are holding major volumes of the U.S. dollar, and they realize the situation in which the dollar will face, and they do want to eliminate their holdings and purchase more gold. I think that had a lot to do with the price, along with profit taking and the normal corrections in a major bull market. But I think the central banks were, because they want to acquire it. They don't want to acquire it at $730 and $800 and $1,000 an ounce. So, but they have to do it quietly. And just like when you want to purchase something, you certainly don't want to announce it and purchase it at a higher price. You'd rather do it at a lower price. So the fundamentals for gold are good. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, we put together great portfolios. We take a look at what your investment objectives are. I don't believe there's a one coin that fits all. There's different budgets to work with. So we take a look at everything, and we put together a portfolio. So you can take advantage of the different coins that are available, because some coins perform when others don't, and we always want to build that foundation first, and then you can begin to speculate and add different coins. You should be holding a minimum of 30% of your hard assets in the gold and silver, and that's a minimum. And you should carry about 80% gold and 20% silver in your portfolio. You can speculate a little bit with palladium, but you have to remember that palladium is an industrial metal, and when industry comes to a halt, which it will, you could see some volatility there. So I look at palladium as more of a speculative metal in which you can purchase right now. If you have platinum, platinum's been very strong. I'm not a believer in doing a lot of trading. I don't believe in selling one coin for another unless a coin might have performed, you know, 300%. Then you can take a little bit of profit and maybe purchase a coin that hasn't had the benefits of a rise.
I'm going to have to let you go, Melody. Thanks very much.
1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. And again, that telephone number for Melody, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And of course, if you have not yet heard our talk on the financial tsunami or gotten the syllabus, which has so much information in it, government information, statistics, explains what they are, material from the Federal Reserve Bank, what's M1, what's M2, what's M3, and why did they stop publishing M3, and what is really going on, and what are the implications of the derivative market, and so much more. Anyway, our telephone number, if you'd like to get the talk, either DVD or a VHS and or the syllabus, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, it's called the Financial Tsunami. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because you can't understand what's going on unless you understand there are powerful spiritual forces at work within our society. And behind everything that's going on, whether it would be the immigration issue, whether it be the financial issue, or whether it be the war in the Middle East, whether it would be our so-called two-party political system, there are powerful spiritual forces. We will be carrying, of course, Alex Jones' latest DVD or on the Bohemian Grove. I think it's the Brotherhood of Death, something he calls it. But anyway, you could just ask for the DVD on the Bohemian Grove. I think it's excellent. It will give you tremendous insight into what's going on. And, of course, we also recommend Chris Pitto's great DVD that got the New York Film Critics Award. This is quite an amazing thing. And it is called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. I have a small part in that where I try to explain to people what's really going on in America and how you can begin to understand why things are happening as they are, taking you back through history to the very beginnings of America. The DVD, again, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That and so much other information is available. The Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, really the story of everything going on and in America and introducing you to the other dimension. There is some film footage there of a woman who, of course, is a medium, and she goes into a trance, and you can see the total transformation of her as her voice, her appearance changes and alters, and, of course, she's taken over by a demonic spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, there really are demonic spirits out there. You don't want to fool with these things. You want to realize they're there. And, of course, you want to avoid them at all costs. But you want to understand that there are other people who look to those demonic spirits for their knowledge and for their leadership. And of course, there are people who believe there's a great white brotherhood and their elders. And of course, they're really the ancients of wisdom. These are demonic beings who really run things behind the scenes and influence people, some of them knowingly, some of them unknowingly, as we move away from the America we know and believe in, to this new country that is developing, that is leading the world into the New World Order. and the New World Religion. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is www.radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. That would probably be my May newsletter, which explains not only what's happening with the immigration issue, but the spiritual forces that are energizing the immigration issue. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family or really pledge your regular support to help us as we reach out across America. 5 hours every day. Today, of course, it's been 7 hours. We did a two-hour program very early this morning before we began our five-hour schedule. But if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, why, we'd love to hear from you. And then, whatever you can do, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com.